Could be. And today we, I see the agenda of this meeting. And unfortunately, I have flu. I've been trying to nationalize this flu. It's resisting. And I was raising with the secretary this morning that we have a permanent item in the agenda, that of deliberations in order to finalize the interim board. So that item will have to come at the end, because we must know progress in the National Assembly today. The ad hoc committee will present the report, and once that report is presented and accepted, if it talks dissolution of the board, which I think it will, then we must, within 10 days, within 10 days, the interim board must be appointed. So we can't, as the committee, be found wanting when that time comes. I know the parties tabled their names last meeting, and what was going to happen thereafter. Negotiations between the parties were to take place so that when we finalize the interim board names, at least there have been some discussions among the parties outside the committee, and have some consensus. So I'm putting it to you, members, when we come to number three, at least number three is the adoption of the agenda. When it comes there, you consider this item that I'm raising. And for record, it will have to be, if it's not finalized today, all other meetings will have to have that item in the agenda, as we said last meeting. We meet, honorable members, today, after a number of things happened out there. And one of those things is disruptions and violence that is taking place, particularly in Tshwane. At the face value, you will think that is xenophobia. But definitely there are elements of criminality in those actions. So the debate today will have to get into details today, because it's going to be debated through motions. And I'm happy that I see that in the agenda of today in the National Assembly. So that if it's xenophobia, it's clear, but if there are other underlying attempts to disorganize our government, those must be exposed. That was by way of opening the meeting, and I'll let the secretary to read the apologies, because I don't know them.
Thank you, Chairperson. The committee has received an apology from Ms. Pumzile Van Dam, who's on leave, Mr. Willie Madisha, who has other commitments. We've received other apologies from the minister. She's hosting the Ministry of Telecommunications and Mass Communication of the Russian Federation, and the deputy minister is attending to other departmental engagements. That's all.
Thank you very much. Those are the apologies, members. Can I hear a member accepting raising issues on the apologies? Anyone accepting? Oh, I was beginning to say, don't tie your shoelaces, just speak. Honorable Teddy is moving for the acceptance and seconded by two members, Velma and Machoba. Thank you very much. That's the agenda, members. And remember what I was saying as a plea to members. The agenda? Do you want to consider my proposal? Or reject it? You are free to do whatever you want to do with my proposal. You can reject it, you can accept it, you can say your say. My proposal was that we deal with the interim report at the end of the meeting. Honorable Kalago?
Chair,
just to
I
get the progress.
I second that, Chair.
Okay.
In any case, that was our decision in the last meeting.
Exactly.
So I was surprised that it was not on the agenda.
Okay. Oh, it was dark all along. Thank you very much. I don't know who discovered that very darkness. Discussions on interim board. It's in the agenda as point number 3C. Okay, now that the agenda is adopted, further deliberations on the Films and Publications Amendment Bill. Who's going to take us through? I'm saying there is the DG in communications. Oh, are you acting or are you DG? Oh, no, I heard the secretary say the DG would lead. So I was very happy that at last we have a DG in communications. Ever since I came here, I think there's been hectic. And I think, members, members, I hope you are listening. Are you listening, members? Members, I think we must deal with this acting business in communication. But not only in communication. Remember, even in SABC, there is nobody who is not acting in SABC, in the executive. All of them are acting. In communication, I'm not sure about other entities acting, did you? MDA, same. So we can't have a department and its entities. People are acting. It's a problem. And I think it's something that we must focus on as the committee at some stage. In fact, quite soon. So that we have the answers as to when is this thing happening of appointing full-time people. It can be right, because you won't have people to account. Acting DG, can you take us through can we sort out documents first? Which documents are we going to use? So that members are clear as to which document are we dealing with. Yes.
Thanks, good morning, Honorable Chair and members. Let me start by dealing with the issue of the documents. The documents that we are going to be focusing on a lot today is the Annex C, which is the dealing with the clause by clause and summary of the amendment bill, as per our discussion in November last year. So there are two documents there, Annex C. The one at the top is written, the Films and Publications Amendment Bill 2015. They've got a summary. And also the actual bill itself, which is also marked Annex C, has got at the heading, discussion is in red. That's, in essence, where we're going to be focusing on a lot today. Can I continue, Chair? No, that's the presentation, Chair. And then there's the actual bill itself. At the top is written discussion in red. The proposed amendments. Do you have it, Chair? Yes, that one. And then in support of that document, there's a document also marked Annex C, which is a detail of, yes, that one, yes. Yes, that is the actual bill. And then there's a document written Annex C, Philips and Publication Amendment Bill. Dealing with a clause by clause of the bill as requested by the meeting in November.
Chair, so that we don't have always problem.
Yeah.
I think members should check their pigeon notes. Because these documents were sent earlier and they were all in our pigeonholes. If your secretaries do not go and check your pigeonholes, you'll be in this problem. You must go yourself, because that's what I've done. You'll find all these documents were there. In fact, the other one with the red was there even that other time. So I think, comrades, we were members, so that we don't take time looking at documents when the department has sent them earlier, and the office of the secretary of the committee, they have made sure that those, in fact, there are some of them were even electronically sent to us.
Okay.
That's people read.
Are we now okay with documents, members? All of us? Because if you can't move together, then the contributions won't be okay. Okay. Yes, sir.
Thanks, Chair. And let me start by introducing the team that I am with today. I am Norman Mjerere, Acting DG of the TOC. Next to me on my left is Collins Mashile, the Chief Director of Casting Policy, Policy and Research. On my right, on my far right is Mr. Tepofaso Haribia, the Director of Legal Services. And next to him is San Lenene, who is the Minister's advisor. And behind him is Elvis Makam from the Ministry. From the FPB, they are led by Mr. Rufuno Nevonde. The guy behind me is a council member. And Mr. Sipori Siba, the COO of the FPB. And also Tolwana, sitting at the back of the Legal Services Unit. But also to say that we do have a colleague from the State Law Advisors, Monga Melikweta, who we have worked with, sitting right there. So that is the team that is here today. So the presentation, Chair, will focus on what the committee has requested us to look at the last time we discussed in November. So I'll do a bit of introduction. There was also an issue that we need to look at the tariff structure related to the bill itself, the work that FPB is doing. And there was also a question around the details about the protection of children, whether we have consulted with the organizations responsible for children. The fourth issue was around the issue of subjectivity versus objectivity. When dealing with children's concerns, we tried to capture those. And then the other issue was around the socio-economic impact assessment system that DPME did together with the team. We've attacked the report on what we've done around that. So they've given us a certificate that was done as required by the committee. So we're not going to dwell much on that issue. But we want to spend much time on item number 6, which is the extensive clause-by-clause amendment list, which is the annexures in the document I referred to, which my colleague will take you through. Essentially, just to deal with the mischief and what we're trying to address in the amendment proposals. Just as a way of introduction, Chair, was that we were instructed as per the draft minutes of the Portfolio Committee when we were meeting with the committee on the 15th of November 2016, that we must go and finalize the CS with the DPME, which we have done. I think it's attached as annexure B. We've also been asked to go and address the issue of the tariff structure, the detail of the protection of children, the subjectivity of the objectivity when dealing with children concerns, and also dealing with the issue of the clause by clause amendment list. Just on the final tariff structure, there is a report that is work in progress. It's attached as Annexure A in your documents, which is a work that has been commissioned by FPP to be able to review the tariff structure to prepare when the bill is finalized that we have got a new tariff structure which can respond to the issues relating to the transparency on how tariffs are set in the online environment in respect of the cost of classification going forward, which also tries also to say let's also have a certainty and also a process of harmony in terms of how the tariffs are set. And this document, once it's done, will be consulted upon with the relevant stakeholders. It's not a final product. But just to say to the committee that as we finalize the bill, we're also putting in place the mechanisms that we are putting in place to review the tariff as it were. And I think the point to take away from this slide is that the stakeholders had indicated that the tariff structure for fiscal content is considered fair and reasonable and is an insignificant cost to their businesses. And micro enterprises and new enterprises find the tariffs of online content distribution high. And also the classification fees and once-off registration fees are accepted. However, they question the annual renewal of store licenses and the requirement of tax clearance certificates for renewal. Similarly, they required the reasons for the double handling of the same the film submitted twice for DVD or Blu-ray or at the theater. And also the last issue was around the online distributors raised concern that about the annual fee, which is a flat fee of 795,000. So they want more transparency around that area. So that's precisely that what that report seeks to do. That is in your report. So we've, as a department, also looked at the report, and also we note that this report, once is consulted upon, still requires approval by the ministry, subsequently by cabinet. So we'll be working with the colleagues from FPP around this issue. I think the first point there is that the current FPP tariffs for fiscal district films are to be aligned to the cost of classification, because most of the funds that we allocate to the FPP are used to for classification purposes. So we need to create a stable and sustainable environment around that area so that they don't necessarily rely on the funding that comes as a form of income from the fiscals. I think our view is that also the double handling of the film tariffs, either for DVD or Blu-ray, also is a genuine concern. I think that the report must look at when it's finalized. And also our view is that the online distribution fee structure should accommodate the diverse business in relation to the size of their libraries that they have. And there's a need for categories that are exempted from fees and special fee of small releases, educational for promotional. Those are the things that when we finalize this, we'll be able to look at. But safe to say, this is a report that on the work that they've done, which still has to be processed and consulted upon and ultimately be presented to the minister for a final approval and ultimately to cabinet. That report is attached in Annexure A. If we can go to slide number 5, that is with the detail about the protection of children. We try to look at how other jurisdictions in the world are dealing with this matter. What are the trends across the world? I must say, Honorable Chair, yesterday we hosted the Russian Deputy Minister. I think the issues that centered around this issue of the online content regulation was quite very high on the agenda. And the issue around the fake news and all of those things is a global phenomenon in terms of how it's affecting various jurisdictions. Safe to say that Article 19 of the UN Convention on the Rights of Children provides for the protection of children in and out of the home from violence, exploitation, and abuse and neglect. So there is an appreciation even at the UN level that there's a need to protect children against some of these things. And existing research demonstrates that the proliferation of harmful content on and offline continue to be a concern amongst young people and also their parents and the caregivers in some instances. There is also general recognition by most countries that the protection of children from potential harmful on and offline requires regulatory policies and strategies to foster and ensure that on and offline platforms are safe for use by the children. So the most administrations in the world are grappling with on putting measures to protect children in that space. Protecting and assessing risk affairs with children and content continues to be a policy priority, including also for us. That's why this bill is before you. Therefore, in this bill, the protection of children against potential damaging images related to risk related to and faced children on and offline. More broadly, honourable members, some of the regulatory policy children protection measures will relate to the prevention in advent or deliberate access to harmful content on or offline by the children. Secondly, protecting the vulnerable from potentially harmful content on and offline content. And thirdly, increasing the awareness online safety issues and steps to take reduced risk for children, which is one of the areas that FPP in its start plan has got this area focus around creating awareness around this area. And then lastly, the age verification system to restrict access for under 18 to harmful content on and offline. In the next slide, it continues to say that the children continue to access harmful content offline and online, intentionally or unintentionally. In some instances, you find that the kids, they become the creators of such content. Traditional mass media and internet service providers, ISPs and mobile operators, they've got application play an important role in how children are exposed to harmful content offline and online. Government consultation, little or no effort has been made to date by most of the porn providers to prevent children from accessing their content, in those sites. And I think we need to put measures around those areas. Exposure and access occur both online and offline. Even exposure is more prevalent than deliberate access. Access has increasingly moved from offline to online sources. Mobile phones are increasingly reported as one of the main sources of both exposure and access, as there's a high penetration of mobile, especially smartphones, this way. There's also evidence and sufficient expert opinion that exposure and access to harmful content offline or online can lead to distress or harm to people under the age of 18. And the international benchmarking shows that attitudes to the protection of children and the effect of exposure and access to harmful content offline by children vary considerably. Convergence has forced many countries to act and explore new ways to respond to these technological developments to address child protection measures, as it were. I think the point that I want to indicate here, Chair and members, is that there is a need for working together of various stakeholders in this space. Remember, the FPP, what they are interested in the main is on the emotional side, the softer side, when the content is reached. But there is a whole host of infrastructure that is built to be able to transmit such a content. So meaning that there is a need for working together between various departments and also various agencies to be able to assist the FPP to regulate that content. The last slide, the second last slide, also again continues to deal with the how other jurisdictions have dealt with that issue. I think there's a quote there by Professor Brian McLean in 2016 when he submitted the Excellency Senate inquiry on the harm being done by Australia to children through access to pornography on the internet. So just to say a case study that even other jurisdictions are looking at that the very same issue. So meaning that from our side, you know, the protection of children and young people continue to be an important policy in all the jurisdictions, including South Africa, but also will require a forward-looking analysis and more effective and much smarter approaches on how to deal with the with this question. Children and young people are seen as the most vulnerable groups, users of the online and offline platforms, and children are at risk from harmful and inappropriate content in all the time. If we can go to the last slide around this area, that we can summarize that government and all other stakeholders take into account some of the following principles when dealing with the policies for protection of children and against harmful content. Number one, empowerment of children and parents to evaluate and minimize risk and engage online in a secure, safe and responsible manner. Secondly, proportionality to the risk faced by children without restricting the opportunities and benefits of online and offline platform for children as well as other users and consistently with the fundamental values of democratic societies, meaning that freedom of expression and privacy and protection as they apply to all individuals, including children. Third one, flexibility, where age appropriate and restrictions are established, all stakeholders strive to ensure that such restrictions are respected and technological neutrality to ensure that their sustainability. The next one is identifying government bodies with responsibility and authority to implement these policy objectives and to cooperate across borders. I think from our side we do have the need for ICASA in particular and FPP to work together together with other agencies. Fifthly, supporting a coordinated response from all stakeholders by facilitating open dialogue in order to foster synergies, benefit from expertise of all stakeholders, including parents, educators, and children themselves, take into account their perspective when we do all of these things. The sixth one, integrating digital media literacy and skills in schools curricula with a focus on risk and appropriate online behavior, and then support evidence-based policies and conducting regular impact assessment for regulatory purposes. And lastly, fostering further research on age verification systems which enable children to protect themselves against offline and online risks. It therefore means, Honorable Chair, there is a need to capacitate, in particular from our side, FPB, to be able to monitor these activities. You know, I think if you can look at the capacity that they have in terms of how they monitor some of these things, they don't have that capacity. Meaning that, imagine, you know, if almost everybody now have got more than 100% of, let's say more than 80% of smartphone penetration in the country, they have to have mechanisms within which they're able to be able to monitor whether those who are providing content are not breaching those kind of restrictions. Now we are dealing with the issue of subjectivity in slide number 9. Versus objectivity when dealing with children's concerns. The point is that within the protection of children against harmful research, there has been a deliberate move towards evidence-based policy making, I think also from our side, and I think you have demanded that from us as this committee. That's why we're presenting this report and also ensuring that there is a socio-economic assessment done before this bill is considered by this committee. And also as government, we engage in its own in our research, and at times engaging experts to gather qualitative and quantitative evidence from children, parents and educators, researchers, policymakers, industry, which enables these experts to record and interpret data professionally to avoid and screen out as much objectivity as possible, ensure objectivity, reliability of the research findings. When it comes to protection of children against harmful content, it is easier and possible to come up with subjective observations or research findings due to the exposure of children to harmful content. Researchers and experts may slant their research towards censorship or regulatory policy that is detrimental to the sector. And I think the issue of censorship, when this bill was brought to the to Parliament, was the issue that, that this bill seeks to censor. And I think just to say that the role of the FPB is not to censor content, is to classify content. It has moved away from being a censor board to classify content. But those who must access the appropriate content can do so without any limitations at the same time, but also putting measures for the protection of those who must access such a content. So we must also ensure that when we do this work, we also give a voice to the children and the parents and industry experts so that we can get their views on the impact that these issues are having on their own day-to-day lives. If you can move the next one. The last slide on this issue of subjectivity versus objectivity, again, we quote again from the from Australia, another professor on that inquiry, especially around issues of content, that we need to be able to also ensure that there is access and also listening to the views of the children if we are to get to the bottom of the challenge. Next slide, Honorable Chair and members, deals with the socio-economic impact assessment system that we have done. Without going into the detail, it's attached in Annex C. It's quite a very rigorous process that we have done, so they were quite happy with the work that we have given them. So this approach, as attached in Annex C, the analysis that suggests that digital convergence has also complicated the protection of children. Protection of children continues to be an important policy and regulatory issue, and continues to require forward-looking analysis, more effective and smarter approaches. And I think what is coming out of this is requires that when we move forward, FPB will not work alone, but will need to work with other role players. It may be that there is an interministerial, which must look at, which cuts across various departments, look at this whole issue, because it cuts across many departments, in that regard. I will now, with your permission, say, hand over to Mr. Tsepofaso Kharavia, who will then take you through clause by clause amendment of the bill in terms of dealing with what is the mischief, what we have removed, starting from the preamble, what we have proposed, and also the Annex C, and also the why are we proposing the removal or deletion or addition in the actual bill itself. I will now hand over to Tsepofaso with the permission, sir.
It's me. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'll look at these two documents. The first one is the document Annex C. It is entitled Discussion. It's the bill itself. I will start with preamble, then going through it clause by clause. And furthermore, I will also refer to the narrative. The narrative report here that we did, you also have the document. I will also look from page 13. Page 13 is the one which makes the distinction that this was the old section, this is the new section, this was the mischief, and in order to remedy it, this is what we did, and our comments. That is page 13 of narrative, and also, that one. Annex C is also necessary. Thank you. that also. I'll start with preamble, the preamble of the bill, where the changes are made. We have written here.
As you present, I think it's important because you don't want to lose the members. So can you make sure that you indicate which page, which clause, which documents that we they can move with you. Yeah.
We are using two.
Yes.
We are using this annexure C, the discussion one.
Yeah.
And then you are using another annexure C.
Yeah.
Just point us to the pages.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair.
Are we okay, members? There are two annexes. The one is written discussion on top, and the other one is not. It has a background. It has a background. Just the annexes, FPB bill 2016, given a background.
Okay.
2016. Yes. Are we fine, members?
Okay.
Are we okay now? There are two annexes. One is written discussion, and the other one is written Films and Publications Amendment Bill 2015, background. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll now refer to the discussion bill, that is page 2. I'll start with preamble. I'll focus on the changes that we made, that are indicated here in this discussion. Here, if you can look in the preamble, the bill, you'll note that the term penalty committee was renamed enforcement committee, as you can see in the bill, that is in the preamble. It was renamed the enforcement committee so that it could be in line with the committee in enforcing the act, because the committee deals with administratively with non-compliance, and we refer to it as such throughout the bill. In other words, the term penalty committee, Honorable Chair, it creates an impression that the powers and functions of the committee are limited in issuing penalties. We call it penalty committees if they are only restricted in issuing the penalties. But the mandate of the FPB is not to issue penalties only, but is to enforce. That's why, hence, we call it an enforcement committee. Again, the Act also requires all instances of non-compliance to be dealt with through criminal justice system.
You delete penalty.
Yes.
And then retain or insert enforcement.
Enforcement committee.
So the one that we have
crossed. Yeah.
Is you have deleted.
We have deleted it. Then the new one is the red one. So the committee can be able to enforce the act, and it cannot only be restricted in issuing fines, because the word penalty, it restricts them only in terms of fine. But they are here. The mandate of the FPB is to enforce the act as a whole, ensure compliance, monitors, and all that. That's why it was renamed. And again, Honorable Chair, if you could look again, there is weight, digital, and digital. There's a digital film and digital game. And again, the function of the FPB was also extended here so that there will be compliance with obligations of films and compliance with monitoring. To this end, so the reason that we included here in the bill is that inside the bill we have a section in which we made a provision for compliance monitors. These compliance monitors, they will seek assistance through the member of the CBC when conducting their duties to ensure that there is a due process that is followed. So I will refer to it later to explain it in full, because here it's just in a preamble. Because in the preamble here we speak about what is this bill all about. So here I'll explain it later, but it was made, a provision here was made so that there could be monitors, the compliance monitors who seek assistance with member of SABC when conducting their duties to ensure that the due process is followed and rights of the privacy are protected. These were done expressly if there is a complaint that in this service provider, internet service provider, they are conducting any action that is against this act. So this will grant FPB the power through the assistance of the SAPC, I mean SAPS, yes, to monitor the police. And if there's anything which is against Section 16 of the Constitution, it will be taken down. This is just in a preamble. And again, when you look at the preamble again, Honorable Chair, we have included the word accreditation. There's a word accreditation of independent online distributors. And we have deleted industry classification. The reason for that, Chair, is that the FPB seeks to regulate online distributors. A distinction here was made between commercial and non-commercial distributors. You will see it in the definition. I'll just explain it in the definition in full. Here I just explained preliminarily as to why have we done this, but I'll explain them in full as and when I come to close. So, like I said, there's a commercial and non-commercial distributors were defined here. While the commercial distributors here, they ensure that their content is classified prior to making it available to the public. This is only the mandate of the FPB. But with regard to non-commercial distributors, here the FPB will only intervene where there is a complaint. In other words, the mandate of FPB is exclusively on commercial. If there is a non-commercial distributor, the FPB will interfere if there's a complaint, if there's any content which is prohibited. For example, child pornography, hate speech, propaganda of war or incitement or imminent violence. That is the basis in which, that's the crux of the whole bill. But from now on, I'll start with definition, starting with clause by clause, and explain in detail what I've just indicated in passing just now. If we go to page 3 of the bill, you'll see the word international, and international here, it has been included. In other words, for FPB to be in line with international standard, and for the purpose of consistency now, it will provide for accreditation of international and foreign standard. However, those standards and guidelines, they must be seen by FPB and be approved by it. That is the reason why an international classification was included here. And when we go down again in page 3, you will note that the word advocating racist hate speech, propaganda, prohibited conduct, the word advocating racist and hate speech was deleted. And now we have inserted propaganda, prohibited conduct. The reason for this is that it's possible that you can commit any of the transgression in terms of this act, not only with racist speech or... So we decided, in other words, to write the word prohibited content, because here prohibited content, it covers everything that is prohibited. And we made sure that it is in line with Section 16. So if we were to write only racist speech, it means other form of transgression in terms of Section 16 of the Constitution will not be covered. That is the reason that Honorable Chair, that we included prohibited conduct in order to cover all other forms of transgression in terms of Section 16. So it cannot be limited. With your permission, Honorable Chair, I would like to go to same page 3, but now I'm going to start with the definitions. The definitions. I'll start with the definition of artistic. Honorable Chair, if you read that, this definition was deleted because the classification guideline will be used to determine the artistic merit or conduct. In other words, the word artistic is so restrictive. That is the reason that it was deleted. So the classification guideline will cover this concept, artistic. I will then go to page 4 of the bill, under B, the child pornography. You'll note that during submission, we received many The committee received many submissions. Most were saying that they prefer the concept child sexual abuse material and others. There were different views with regard to the child pornography. Some they said the word child pornography is too old. So, the previous definition of actually, Chair, let me put it like this. It's Media Monitoring Africa that said we should perhaps use the word child sexual abuse. But this was not going to be possible because if you commit any transgression in terms of this act, you will refer to sexual offense and related act, which says child pornography. In other words, the Films and Publication Act is a secondary legislation, while the sexual offense and related matters is the primary legislation. In other words, if you have the child sexual abuse material in terms of Films and Publication Board, and you have something that needs to be prosecuted, the prosecution authority will have to use the sexual abuse and related material. So in terms of sexual abuse and related material, the concept that is used is child pornography. So if we were to accept the view of Media Monitoring saying that we have to use child sexual abuse, if there's a contradiction, the MPA will have a problem to prosecute. Because now SFPB here, we say sexual abuse material. But when we hand over to the MPA, it says child pornography. You see, they are not consistent and they are not in harmony. They don't talk to each other. So that's why in one of the meetings that we had with the Department of Justice and South African Law Commission, they recommended that we should retain the word child pornography so that it can be consistent. Because the reasons that were only advanced with regard to child sexual abuse material were to be in line, it was just to be in line with an international standard. That was only the reason. But here, we decided that we should use the word child pornography so that we cannot create complications with NPA. This is actually what they recommended. They said there should be harmony. So the word child pornography, with, for all intents and purposes, as referred to in Sexual Offense and Related Matters Act of 2007, will be retained. That is child pornography. Again, I will go to page 4 of the bill. That is page 4. You will see that we have deleted it. We said, we made a cross-reference, Chair. Child pornography means child pornography as defined in Section 1 of the criminal. So now we have a one section dealing with child pornography in South Africa. We don't have many definitions as previously was the case. Remember there was one constitutional case of Drew where the court declared that the definition of Films and Publication Board, as it is deleted here, as you can see down here we deleted it, it was unconstitutional. So now we have one single definition of child pornography. Any transgression in terms of this act will be referred to the primary act. The other way that I can put it, Chair, is that our act is a secondary act. The primary act is a SOMA. They prosecute within the primary act. So in other words, as a child act, you can't say when you complain, you refer to the parent. The parent will not have anything to prosecute with, but because it must be in line with that, with the SOMA. The SOMA Act is the parent act, which regulates the prosecution. Any transgression under this act will be taken through it. Again, Chair, in page 4 down here, you will see that we have the definition of commercial online distributor. You note that initially I indicated that this definition was included specifically because of we want to state the mandate of the FPB clearly. The definition of commercial online distributors, this is because the mandate of FPP, as I indicated earlier, is to regulate the commercial. And if it's non-commercial, where there's a hate speech or something which is non-commercial, FPP will only intervene if there's a complaint. That is the mandate of FPP. Chair, with your permission, I would like to go to page 5. You will see that the definition of digital film and digital game has been deleted, Chair. And that is page 5. When you go to page 6, you will note here in page 6 that under paragraph H, we have the word generic filling. And we also have the word gain. They're just general. But when you go to look at page 4, it is digital film and digital game. So we have deleted the digital film and digital game, and we have enhanced it with the word generic, just the only film, that film and game. The reason for this is that you will note, Chairperson, that the films and game are distributed through the internet and online media, including social media. So once you say digital, you are only restricting it. So you have to just make it general and say game or film. Don't say digital game or digital game, because you are restricting it. What if someone, he contravenes it through social media or through internet? So that's why we have included film and game in page 6 here, so that it can cover all those instances of contravention in terms of the social media. That is the word game and film.
Members will proceed until page 11. And then until page 11. And then after that we can check if there are areas that members want to raise, and then our legal services. Up to page 11.
Thank you, Chair. With your permission, again in page 5, you'll see down there, just under paragraph D and subsection B here, you'll see we have included the word in page 5 of the bill, paragraph D. Yeah, D and... Yes, by the substitution. Let's go to B, underneath B, in red here. You see we have included the word using an internet, so that we can cover all the instances of contravention. You'll note that during the submissions, one of the presenters, was it Emma Sadler, he indicated the vast line of cases that were happening on media. The way in which people were being revenged through pornography and all others. So she started even by indicating the problem that we have, that if you are now on Facebook or on this, someone has written, you don't have a remedy for it. So by including the word internet, we are trying also to cover those instances. That's why during the explanation in preamble, I've indicated that there will be an instances in which the FPB will require a certain writings on social media to be taken down. If you refuse, the assistance of the police officer will also be obtained. But I will explain that in full when I'm coming to the relevant clause that deals with it. With your permission, sir, let me go to page 7 of the bill. That is page 7 of the bill. You will note that we have included the word harmful and hate speech. The word harmful and hate speech, they're also in red. Yeah. The reason for that is that a new definition of harmful has been added because of, as I indicated just now, a new offense of revenge porn, which has been established in the bill. In other words, the victims of online revenge pornography will now have a recourse. If someone, he posts the revenge porn on that, the victims of revenge porn will now have this recourse. So we included this definition of harmful, because if you can hear, it says it means causing emotional, either psychological, moral distress to a person, whether through film, that's why we want to cover all the films, through games, or through publication through on or on offline media, including an internet, and harm shall have the corresponding meaning. So we did it so that we can cover all these instances of revenge porn. That is the word harmful. With your permission, Chair, we also have the word hate speech.
The definition of hate speech, which was introduced in the first version of the bill, was revised in order to ensure that it's compatible with the Constitution. In other words, we revised this bill to make sure that it's in line with the Constitution. In other words, if you make any hate speech that is contravening the Section 16, it will now be covered here. As it says, the hate speech will include any speech, gesture, conduct, writing, display, or publication made online, which is prohibited by Section 16 of the Constitution, which propagates or advocates, communicates words against any person or identifiable group, which words could be reasonably be construed as demonstrating a clear intention to be harmful. So we make sure that it is in line with the Constitution. This is, to be in line with the Constitution. And again, in page 7, Chair, under paragraph K, you will see that there's a definition of internet. We suggested the definition of internet here with the state law advice, of course, was there, that we have to refer to internet as it also defined in the primary legislation, which is Electronic Communication and Transaction Act. So in other words, if you look in films and publication bill, what we did, we looked at other legislation in which it impacts. As I indicated earlier, the primary legislation, the mother legislation, that deals with prosecution was, is sexual offences related matters. So now the bill is in line with the sexual offences matters. But the primary act, as far as an internet is concerned, it is, yes, it's Electronic Communication and Transaction Act. That's why even our definition here, it must be in line. So bill, as I'm speaking now, it will be in harmony with sexual offences and related matters which prosecute, and it will also be in line with Electronic Communication and Transaction Act, which is with internet. That's why we have defined an internet here, and you will see later, I will make a cross-reference, we made a cross-reference here with Section 77 that deals with the process if you are going to take down something that is in internet. We also made a cross-reference to it with the state law advisor, Mr. Guetta, here. So, with your permission, Chair, I would like to go to page 8. As I've indicated earlier, the word online in distributor was replaced with the word online commercial distributor, which is the mandate of the FPB. If you can see, there's a deleted word, Chair, penalty committee, as I've included that this word only restrict the mandate of FPB to penalties, whereas it's not mandated to deal with penalties, but enforcement of the act. You will see we have included the word non-commercial online distributor, which means any person who distributes content using an internet or enables content to be distributed by the user of online. So we have included this one to cover the instances in which there is a complaint. FPB is not responsible for regulating a non-commercial online distributor. It's responsible for commercial distributor. But if there is a complaint with regards to non-commercial, such as hate speech, pornography or what, the FPB is empowered to intervene. Again, Chair, in page 6, you will see the definition of online. Oh, sorry, Chair. Apology, Chair. Page 8. We have included the definition of online media. And again, we have included the definition of payment. So this definition of online medium was inserted here so that because it is identified as a specific mode of distribution in respect to, you can also distribute an information through online medium. So we needed to cover that. And again, if you can read it, says it means any website, communication, messaging system, social media facility or similar which is connected to publicly available internet and any public telecommunication messages. These are made to cover all instances of publication as long as it can reach an attention of the public that tends to, you know, infringe one of the human rights, in Section 16. The word permit, Chair, was included here. It says it means the permit issued by the board. This is just a general permit that is issued by the board. Pursuant to Section, it was not there in the previous Act.
When we go down in page 8, you'll see that the weight in newspaper has been deleted. It says the deletion of newspaper. The weight definition of newspapers was deleted because it is not only through the newspaper that you can create or write a hate speech, child pornography and all that. It's through even online medium that we also defined. Through the internet, you can do that. So by writing only newspaper here, we are restricting indirectly exempting or immuning other transgressors of online internet from prosecution. So you look here, you note that here in page 8, under paragraph O, there's a Press Council of South Africa. We received submission from them, and it was decided that they need to be included here because they are accredited structure. That is, Press Council of South Africa has been added in recognition of it as a self-regulated entity. We received that submission here, and when you go down again, Chair, you will note there's a prohibited. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Member. We have deleted the word newspaper. The reason that we deleted the newspaper is that you can write a child pornography, you can post it through an internet. It's not only on newspaper or it's not only on newspaper or on papers, but you can make a hate speech online. You can make a hate speech on internet, Facebook, as you've seen the cases of Matthews, Johnson, Sparrow, and all that. But if we were to write the word newspaper, we are restricting ourselves. In other words, if a person complains that I am on internet, but now the act says a newspaper here, that's why we have included the word such as an internet as described in the act. We have included the definition online medium. We have included other definitions so that they can be covered under Section 16 of the Constitution. With your permission, Chair, I would like to proceed to page 9. Same page 9. You will note that here, I already indicated I already explained the word prohibited conduct, prohibited content that was done specifically to be in line with the Constitution. And under paragraph S, there is a word publication that was inserted, which means and includes, where applicable, any of the following published. The word publication was revised here, it's not a new definition, was revised in order to ensure that the definition comprehensively covers all the online publication. That is the generic one. You'll see it is there under paragraph U, and it goes further to page 10. Until on top here we have a definition of self-classification. The definition of self-classification here was included in order to ensure that there's clarity with respect to co-regulation that is established in terms of the bill. This is a co-regulation. Self-classification, it means classification of films, games, and publication by commercial online. This co-regulation, in other words, now the bill aims to establish a framework of co-regulation in terms of which members of the industry will be allowed to classify their conduct themselves using FPV classification guidelines. That is a co-regulation. The bill makes specific provision for the recognition and accreditation of foreign and international classification authorities, subject to the terms and conditions thereof. So the word self-classification was included for that reason, for the reason of co-regulation between the industry. And with your permission, I'll state the last definition, Chair, that is in page 11. That is in page 11, the definition of streaming. This also covers the question that was asked by the Honorable Member with regard to why have we included the word, why have we deleted the word newspaper? It was deleted because it will be restricted only to, it will only cover transgressions in terms of the newspapers and the papers. But the word internet, online medium, and also streaming were included specifically because that is another way in which you can create a hate speech. So that's why here the definition of streaming says the delivery of films by online distributor or broadcaster, including online streaming or downloading. You see, downloading was never covered under all instances that I've indicated earlier. And which catch-up service that enable time-shifted viewing of film to the end user of an online delivery medium, including an internet. With your permission, Honorable Chair, I would like to stop at this point if there's any point of clarity.
Yeah, members. now it's the time for clarity. I was checking if, because the department, you work with the state law advisor, isn't it?
Yes.
And whatever you have said agrees with you.
Definitely, Chair.
And then shall we give our legal services first or members first for clarity? Then I understand, that's what I'm asking. But are members comfortable in asking because there is the department and state law advisor, and we have our own legal services. Do we need our own legal advice to check if what they said are in agreement, or we just ask questions? Honorable Kongbe. I think let's take that route because we'll then ask questions after that. Legal services, can you come in first and then we'll ask questions later as members?
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone and all the members. Chairperson, I do have some concerns, but also it would be perhaps concerns that seek to provide clarity or request clarity that perhaps I felt is not upcoming from what has been presented, especially just in relation to the definition section that is proposed. I think first and foremost we should understand that what the department is presenting of now is what they are proposing that the members should consider, as well as making other proposals to what the introduced bill came with. So there will be certain things that they are indicating that from either the deliberations that have taken place from the public at large, they felt that they need to relook at what they had presented as an introduced bill, and so they require that the committee looks into them, considers them, and make those changes where they feel they are happy to make. But as of now, as we should appreciate, it's a document that is now before Parliament, and whatever they are proposing is for purposes of consideration by the committee, and then at the end making their resolutions whether what has been proposed they go with or they do not go with. So just a few that I have noted as already presented. I think the main thing is to first appreciate that from what I've gathered, there seems to be a restriction to now we seek to make a regulation that pertains to internet publications or online publications. But if you look at the Principal Act, in its entirety. It was broad. And just to make a specific example that perhaps will clarify my concern. If, for an example, if you look at the definition for publication in the Principal Act, it read as thus, publication means, without any further words preceding what is can be said there. It said publication means A, any newspaper, book, periodical, pamphlet, poster, or other printed matter, and then there are other listings from A, B, C, D, up to E. And in this proposal, initially, my understanding was that the amendment seeks to only look at A, to say a publication that relates to newspaper, book, periodical, pamphlet, poster, or other printed matter. But with the proposal now, as before the committee, the proposal says publication means and includes, where applicable, any of the following, published using the internet. And my concern now relates to the last word, which is added on the preceding words, which says published using the internet. And understanding that this is an amendment bill which amends the Principal Act, isn't the impact of this, just these words, published using the internet, excludes the other publications which the Principal Act has included, due to the proposed definition that they want to bring in, which restricts the term publication to only publish things that are published using the internet. Because, as I said, we need to keep in mind that this is an amendment of an existing legislation. So we must be very broad when we look at what it brings about, to whether it does not dilute the initial intention of the Principal Act and create a vacuum which perhaps the Principal Act had covered, because we are not only focusing on the amendments that are for now, but we must look whether the Principal Act is not diluted in some way. As I make an example with just this example of publication. And I'm reading to what the definitions that have already proposed, not all of them, but some of them, that problem is a challenge that might arise. So we need to make sure that there's that congruence between the two without creating then a further mischief as we seek to correct it. And then that's basically general for all the definitions as provided, but I think for other things, for me to go individually by them, I don't know whether it will assist the committee or we should, I'm not sure, Chairperson, how to go about, whether to address each one as they have also done. But that first problem is the main challenge I am looking into, and I'm saying it possibly covering most of the definitions, but it is a crucial issue that we need to consider seriously.
Sorry for this. Where I'm raising my hand, I'm not sure if I apologize if I come across that. Okay. So what you're saying to me is that I have a sense that what really disturbs me, I have a sense that there is no demonstrable response to our call for an aligned presentation. Remember, we said, I may be using different words. What we should always remember, I'm talking now to technical people. This committee is a committee of politicians. It's not a committee of legal technicians. Its purpose is to deal with the views. But technical people are supposed to give them a legal technical framework, which is not our duty. Our duty is to deal, when we talk about harmful, Once harmful is explained, we deal with the view and its purpose. But the technical framing is the duty of the technical people. And the way it is being done now is taking us back to what we're worried about. Remember, you said yourself several times that let the technical people deal with all the technical issues. So that when we're here, we purely deal with the views that are being proposed, knowing that among the legal people, they are comfortable with the legal framing, because we are not trained to debate technical legalities. This is my understanding. Now, what worries me is that you don't have a sense that unit and this unit met and said, these are the new views you want to present to the committee so as to make this impact. But legally, they will actually be properly legally framed if you couch them in this version, so that we don't get into that discussion here. And the second issue is that, remember, Mam Ngema has been very educative on this matter, and I want to keep on giving her credit. I might be one of who are struggling. Maybe I'm not smart enough to understand. All I'm saying is that, remember, there was also a question that, these amendments, are they in their material change? Are they rewriting what you call the Principal Act? It was important to get that pronouncement to say, no, we have analyzed these amendments. They do not represent a rewriting of the Principal Act. They are true amendments. They qualify as amendments. So all I'm saying, I thought, before all these things are presented, there will be that legal articulation which is responding to the questions she was raising, depending on what collaborations have they been going through. And then if I don't make sense, I need to be assisted. This is what is worrying me as I'm listening.
Let me give members first and then so that they give direction. Honorable Teddy.
Chair, for now let me ask questions on two aspects. The rest I may come back once the whole presentation has been done. The first one talks to
I'm sorry to Honorable Terry. I would propose that we clear this principle. I have questions in line for the details that Member Terry, but I'm proposing that because you raised this question, that this question needs to be answered so that we have a sense of
what. Mam Ngema, come in. You know, Honorable Kungbele takes us back to where we were when we were discussing before this meeting, before this very meeting of today, our approach as politicians and yourselves as legally trained people. Can you come back on that one?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would recall that in our other meeting, it was indicated that we did have a meeting as the legal team from the department and the state law advisors and myself to look into this. I also want to indicate that in the broader scheme of things, what we discussed was to ensure that the legal issues as well as constitutional issues that arose from the deliberations from the public, were in the broader scheme of events were addressed as well as amongst each other, were discussed until we reached a point where we were having an understanding that this should be the position. But on the drafting, the draft that is before the committee, it is the proposal that after our engagement, the department has come back, because as today's intention for this meeting is for the department to respond to the deliberations and what the committee had raised. But now, the issues, technical and otherwise, would still arise. And because this is a legal process which must follow all the requirements as they appear in the rules and as required through the legislative processes outlined in the Constitution, there is nothing that we can do outside of the committee, because every discussion and everything that must result in a final document, it must have the discussion and the approval of the committee, even on the technical issues, because as I said, this is now the process for Parliament and the committee is engaging in that process. That is why everything we must bring to the attention of the committee with a solution, or if there are questions, it must be raised here and recorded, so that whenever there is any issue that arises at any other stage in respect of the legislative process of this amendment bill, there will be evidence, because we cannot do it outside in our offices, outside of the committee processes. Hence, it's one of those processes that will take long, but we need to do it correctly and properly, so that even if any issue has a comeback on what was not discussed or was discussed here, there will be proper evidence that can stand in court should there be any contention. And that is the process we need to follow. But I understand that is why I think what we also need to understand is that for now it's still a presentation, that the members must have an idea of what the department is now proposing, which might differ from what they had introduced on the introduced bill. But the introduced bill now is no longer the bill from the department. It's no longer a ministerial bill, but it is a bill before Parliament. And whatever changes they are bringing now, they are merely proposals that the committee needs to look into and consider. And hence the motion of desirability will be saying what they introduced and what they've proposed before us, what is the position of the committee? What is the resolution of the committee? And everything that they bring before you as members of this committee, it must be deliberated, and it must have our input as the experts where need be. But at the end of the day, legal, technical, or otherwise, it is the decision of the committee. We cannot do anything on our own unless there is an instruction and a mandate from the committee, because this is the process of the committee. It's not the process of the expert and the technical advisors, if that makes sense, in trying to direct the way forward. But we can limit the issues to those that would be so technical in a manner that we can address them on our own. But there must at least be an indication that they were brought to the attention of the committee, and there is an instruction recorded to say, whatever is of issue, we are relying on you as experts that you will sort it out. But it must be touched on herein and moving forward for record purposes and for compliance purposes with the law and the legislative process as envisaged in the Constitution and the rules of Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think my understanding, I agree that as politicians who raised issues, and after your meeting or in your meeting as legal people, department, state, and parliament, you tried by all means to capture those issues. But what we are doing now is to ensure that the the technical issues that may be challenged legally, you are trying to raise that as legal services on what the department is tabling to us for further discussions, because this is not the end. For further discussions, where now you are raising, you want to raise issues that you think may be a problem legally when the bill goes ahead. That's my understanding. Honorable Kongbele, Honorable Tolashe, Honorable Van Dijk,
maybe
Honorable Kalako, Honorable Teddy.
I'll try to be short. My understanding, Chair, the committee will correct me. I do lose memory. I do forget things. Sometimes we can say things in an amendment. I'm capable of not repeating things the way they were before. I think if I understand the legal services, they are saying, whether technical or substantive or whatever, I don't think there's a dispute around that. But I understood that the purpose of having legal people is for a purpose, so that they can assist us. So our division is understood so that even when we say it is our technical decision, it is an advised technical decision. This is how I understand it. Now, my understanding is that if I got the legal service, they are saying if there is any other approach that must be taken, the committee must give a direction in a meeting. If I remember very well, that is what we did. When a lot of legal issues were raised in a meeting, articulating contradictions and misalignments, the committee said in a meeting, can you guys, now in a meeting that was instructed by the committee, in a meeting, if you appear in this fashion, can you then, as per committee instruction, try to organize yourself in this fashion for ease of decision, what to call, for ease of decision making? My understanding is that there are aspects of that which cannot be done in a meeting like this. But whatever they would then be bringing back, the committee would say, as per our directive, what are you bringing back to us? I don't understand what they will be outside the committee. But again, maybe other members of the committee will assist in take it forward if they understand differently from the way I understand.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Now, maybe if to simplify the question of Honorable Kongbele, I'm not sure if the state or advisor can assist us. Just cut and dry, cut and approach. Is the approach that you're taking different from what you expected, given the experience that you had from the last? Because my understanding was that they'll go, they'll sit, they'll try to find each other, whatever proposals they've presented here, and then we take it from there. Now, I'm not sure whether I hear my correction to say, are we now taking the process a little bit back? Because I thought whatever decisions that they have between the two, we must just hear that, because those are the concerns that we have. Hence, we suggested that they must go and sit together. Now, is the approach that you are taking problematic? Because I think from the questions that honorable members are asking, I think there's a level so far as I'm concerned. So let's get to hear whether we're taking the mentality bit of bed or the approach is a little bit different. What is the problem? What is the problem? Because members are asking questions. I expect them to be given answers straightforward. Because the process was outlined in the last meeting on how they should follow the process. Exactly because of the explanation that Mama was explaining, because she did go through that explanation in the last meeting that we had between ourselves and them. So what is the problem now with the questions, Chair? Thank you.
Before giving you members, so that when members raise issues, and then Department Legal and State will advise me. Mrs. Ngema wants to raise issues emanating from what we have raised in definitions. And my understanding is that after our meeting, we said they must go back and talk to each other. And what I hear is that they did that, but because the document is the document of the department, after is what we presented here, is from the department. No? And that is after you met with legal services. When you discussed and then you went back to develop this document, and she has, in my understanding, some issues, because you met, you engaged, and she has some issues that she wants to raise as contradictions in her mind. Because this is not legal services document. It's document of the department. But the meeting here that did take place, she raised her views, they raised their views. But the product, she wants to raise issues on the product after their meeting. I thought I must raise so that I'm clear with that one. Honorable Van Dijk.
Chair, I also have a problem with Annexure B that wasn't presented to us, the impact study, because there's a lot of questions that arise from there also that also actually links with the legal evaluations of this bill that's presented to us. This document, if I go through it, it's you can see this. I just want to mention it's.
Now we just want to deal with the approach.
Yes, I know what you say, but the other thing is, this was just given to us, and we were told that we must just go through it. But B comes before C, and we were also supposed to go through this before we went to the further communications, because there's a lot of questions that arises from this. Otherwise, I agree with our legal person, specifically on the internet, on page 5, but I'm not sure if you wanted me to elaborate on that. I agree with what is said by either you and our legal person.
Honorable Kalako.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just to be, I seem to I don't think, in my view, we are in a problem. I think, as you say, Chair, they have done what we requested. But what might have happened is some disagreement there and there. Hence, when our legal person started raising on this aspect, where she sees shortcoming. And I want to agree with them, both of them. The final product is us. They will come with these views as we're listening now to the department. And we are still going to be with our state law advisors when we go through this bill. In fact, those are the people which will now have, at that time, department, even if they are around, they will be observers. They won't say anything. Don't want to hear. They must finish what they want to propose to us now. She's right. So that we move forward with our team of legal experts in Parliament to deal with the issues. So my understanding is exactly
because I'm sure there are still going to be areas where we don't agree, want to be amended in a way we want. Those are the people who are going to help us, the parliamentary law advisors. We would have finished with the department. So to me, Chair, I don't think we are, in fact, we are moving forward. And I want us to move forward so that we are able to deal with this. I don't think we are going back. Even the issues she's raising, those issues she's raising are the issues we'll pick them up. The department has presented the documents to us. Even if they have not deliberated on that, started with that one. But it's our right, we'll recall it, whether they are there or not, we deal with it. If there are questions which we want to ask them, it's still within our power to send to them in writing, asking DG, this is what we want.
Yeah.
So that's the process. As far as I'm concerned, I think we are on the right track.
I think we're on, Honorable said, before I conclude. I agree, Honorable Chair. Let's proceed. But the difficulty I have is that we seem to be having a meeting between the department and Mrs. Ngema in a forum, in a meeting of the portfolio committee, which is problematic. There is a meeting which was supposed to have taken place before this meeting, and now want this meeting to take place here, which is incorrect. I have a problem. But having said that, Chair, we may proceed, but I'm saying in the near future, we should then be able to correct that particular aspect. That if there is a meeting which is supposed to take place, it must not take place in a meeting of the portfolio committee. It's problematic. Thank you.
Now, the summary of what we say is that, because I think we must do this, it's not a meeting of the portfolio committee and the legal services. It's what the legal services must raise as issues of, if you like, disagreement following their meeting, which is not today, following their meeting, but there are still issues that, if you like, rehashed to the document, and she wants to raise those issues. I know that after all this, after the department presents this document and we breathe on it, we'll have a meeting to clean up everything as the committee and legal services. No? And legal services, because we are one institution, us and legal services. We know there will be that meeting. And I think it will be wise just to rush through the issues that she thinks are captured contrary to what they discussed or doesn't agree with. Sorry, Honorable Teddy. Because she must raise things that are raised by the department, quickly, so that when you go back to our meeting of the committee and legal, at least we know those issues. I know it's going to take time, but it's not a process that will finish today. I'm not under the illusion that we'll finish this exercise today. It's a tedious process. Yes, but. After you, and then Honorable Drachen, and then members can just grab tea before it gets cold or before it disappears.
I don't know what he's going to say, but I wanted to hear legal services after she raised issues, and then we can just come in after that.
I wanted to suggest a different approach.
That we leave legal services.
Maybe let me finish. Because we're still on, we allowed him to present until page 11.
Yeah.
And my worry is some of the issues that she might raise might be beyond page 11.
Oh, okay.
So which is a bit problematic. I wanted to check the possibility of us allowing him to proceed so that she's then able to deal with an overall approach of the whole document.
Thanks a lot. Can we take that view? It's a lot of pages.
So long as her, you'll then be able to assist us in terms of managing time.
It's up to 60.
Without necessarily going through paragraph by paragraph.
Okay.
Just to talk to the key issues so that she can then come in at a later stage.
With all humility, I want to request, because if I follow now, the approach has been taken. The approach says, take what is being presented to you, interact with it, seek clarity wherever you want to seek clarity. There's a stage where you as the pure unit that you are, then you clean up whatever is missing. So if that is the approach, the move to page 11 to me is still correct. And then when we've actually, because the point I'm trying to make sure is that when we ask them up to page 11, clarifying question and they answer, it gives her even a better basis to build her case for the other meeting that will take place. I was requesting that. Let's follow you raising the questions up to page 11. But if you don't agree, I can leave mine.
Members, to be thorough, we are not going to finish the 60 pages today. We are not. We'll have to take the approach that says, let's go to that page 11, get her to raise issues, members to raise issues, and then we proceed to another. Because it's in different issues. These are definitions. We'll go to another one, it's something else, and then to another one, it's something else. So let's take it so that we understand everything as we move. Can you do that?
Yeah. Then with that clarity, Chair, I'll only deal with two aspects that are, to me, a bit confusing. One relates to what we call the penalty committee. Now that we are changing it to an enforcement committee, I'm raising this thing vis-a-vis the appeal tribunal. When you go through the confusion that we have arose from the amendment bill itself, because you will see there is a clear distinction between the penalty committee and the appeal committee or appeal tribunal. But now, with the amendment that we are coming with now, we seem to be making it one. That's why we say appeal committee or penalty committee stroke enforcement committee. So the confusion that I have is that, are we talking about two different committees or are we talking about one committee that we will now want to change from penalty committee to enforcement committee? And I'm raising this thing because my understanding has always been there should be two committees which deal with matters of this nature. Because if you are not satisfied with a decision of the enforcement committee, in the context of what we're saying now. You must then go to an appeal board or tribunal or whatever. But now, consistently, we seem to be taking it as one, which is a bit problematic. So if that can be clarified as well.
Can I say that there is no longer penalty? It's enforcement.
It's fine. But so the point I'm making...
It's not a penalty stroke. It's enforcement, and he explained why is it enforcement. So there must be no confusion. There is no penalty committee. It's only enforcement. Well, maybe that's the question he posed, the member posed. So you can further clarify.
Yeah, if they can clarify. And as I said, I was thinking from your section 5 and 6 of the main document, because there... They are talking about their penalty committee before this amendment they are talking about. And on top there, I see there is another appeal tribunal separate from their penalty committee. Hence, they were saying appeal tribunal and penalty committee. Once you say and, it means there are two committees involved. So to me, it's an issue that will have to be clarified because it's causing a bit of a confusion. The last one, Chair, is with relates to the government subsidy to address the 795 tariff fee. If it can be clarified, because somewhere, I think it's from the document that TVG presented. The government subsidy, which is now trying to address the annual fee of classification. So if you can clarify what government subsidy are we talking about? Because you know that the intention now is to address issues as raised by the stakeholders. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to request that we have the department and their document with all the highlighting issues, what needs to be deleted, etc., etc. We, however, have not got that from legal services, from Parliament's legal services. We had it was presented to us now, but I need to see these things visually. The views that was expressed from also looking at the issues from the Principal Act and the concerns that she has, if that can be put in writing, all those concerns, that we can read that together with the department's response. At the moment, I can only read what the department has brought, but it was only verbally presented to us from, and I know that the secretariat of the committee does not capture everything in exact detail as what was verbally presented to us. So if we can have that in writing, for next time, please, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honourable
Thank you, Chair. The issues that I have arises from 1D, number A. I want to know that I just want to have clarity on electronic media, because for me it's a wide definition, and it can also it's page 5. Page 5, A and B, it's not under D, yes, that electronic, other electronic media, I just want to have clarity on that, and if that can be differentiated so that you know whether it's WhatsApp, is that also included in that, SMS, because it just says electronic media. And then including using the internet, that term is also very broad, and it covers also the private communication, and that can be unconstitutional. So with regard to that, I would also, on page 9, where the legal person under S said publish under the internet, I also agree that that takes the focus of this bill and place it on the internet. Then with regards to hate speech on page 7, The new definition is definitely more in line with international standards, but there's an issue of duplication under the law, and also should we not wait for the DO, Department of Justice, and for that bill to be completed before this is actually put out, because that falls will be subjected under that law. And then for me, another one on page 11, streaming, for me that's also vague because it can also include WhatsApp, SMS, anything electronic. So that medium must definitely also just be clarified for me. Thank you.
Mark,
thanks. I wish we could be maybe a reassurance from with regard to, you see, when you talk tariffs, you talk protection against harm. There are questions of prosperity, societal prosperity, from the economic point of view, productive society that has not been harmed. All these things need to be achieved. As just a general principle, I'm saying maybe you can be reassured that that balance has been attended to. If so, probably how. The second issue, if you go to page 3, first sentence, the first line there, I'm a bit confused when you speak about foreign and international classification. I am tempted to read the redundancy of language. If there's no redundancy, I hope I can be clarified. What is materially differently served by those two terms there? Because they're foreign. What is foreign? International. So what's the difference between two? Foreign to what and international? So international can be between two countries. Can be in the entire world. Foreign can be between two countries, can be in the entire world. So material difference. Yeah. You also spoke about this interesting thing of commercial and non-commercial. If I get you clear, you'll correct me. You said mainly this bill looks at the commercial distribution, mainly. From the non-commercial point of view, it's only when you speak about hate speech and this other thing. Did I understand you to be saying only? So that you can clarify that, because you said, if I quote you clearly, says this is provided for commercial distributors. But from the non-commercial, it will be dealing with hate speech and what is that other thing? Hate speech and those two terms that are going together. Hate speech and something. So I'm saying, is that what you're saying? Again, this what I'm going to raise here is just a general question. That if in this terminology around child pornography, there's an international vocab, is our approach, once a principal act or whatever other main act defines this thing outside the international language, are we supposed to tie there? Are there intentions, or is there any contemplation to even improve the criminal, what to call, act one? Because you always want to do to the best of your ability to align internationally. I understand now you're saying you're doing it in line with, but in that you are doing in line with, is it immune to be globally aligned in terms of okay? I'm not sure if I put that. this thing that says online media means the author page 8. Is this thing that says online media means? I could be asking a rhetorical question, or I'm saying, are we the first people to define online media in South African legal space? If not so, where else is it being defined? Because the impression I have is that it's like we are defining online for the first time. Is the first act where we are defining online. So if you can clarify, if it's defined somewhere else, would you not say in terms of whatever and so on?
That is where I for now.
Okay. I think that is about all. And I really want to go to legal services. Because we are aware she will raise issues that may be problematic in this document, like we are doing. Mamungep.
Thank you, Chair. It's also just related to the question the last member has posed, because I also wanted to bring about the definition of hate speech, considering what I said earlier on, to say the department needs to clarify whether in relation to these amendments, do they take us out of the extent of what the Principal Act was indicating? For instance, under the same definition that the member was raising, the hate speech, it is now restricted by that word which says made online. Are we now saying, for purposes of this Act, we are defining hate speech that would only be coming out of a publication that is online, and not any other publication for purposes of classification or any other work that the FPB does? I think those are the things that, just specifically on the definition clause, we need to be clarified on, and the department needs to make it clear. Hence, all the questions that are arising from the members, I think it stems exactly from that it looks like the restriction of the amendments wants to speak to what is on the internet and what is made online. Maybe the department must just clarify, is that the intention, that this amendment focuses only on the things that are publicized online, or what is the position? And that will then be able to take us to all the other definitions and into the gist of the other clauses, because other questions are raised, for instance, the distinction between the Enforcement Committee and the Appeal Tribunal. It was just a technical drafting there, but it speaks to different entities, two different entities altogether. It's not an either-or in terms of the name or in terms of merging them. But once we go into the gist of the clauses, that distinction will come out. But for purposes of definitions, I think we need to be clear in terms of the purposes of the amendment. Are we restricted to what is online, or we look at the extent of the Principal Act and what it intended, and we maintain that position, or we are changing it? So that is very crucial for the department to clarify for all of us and members moving forward, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, I will give the department, but I was trying to listen to you to come up with something that says, in my view, this is what must happen. Because I think for me that is important, because that talks to the guidance. It can be not now, maybe in our meeting, but even in this meeting, that kind of guidance for me is necessary. Over to you, department.
Thanks, Chair. don't think the having a meeting of the officials in the meeting will help the meeting. So I would not want my colleagues, when you respond to the questions, try to go for or against and so on. I don't think that will help us. But all the issues that I think needs to be dealt with, I think you have an opportunity to deal with the issues. But rather focus on the on clarifying the issues which are raised by the. I'm saying that, Chair, because I'm receiving a small number of papers here, people wanting to respond to the legal services. And I'm saying, no, I don't think that will help the meeting, really, whether those things will. Yeah. But I think the issues is that I think if we, going forward, we ask people to go and meet and deal with the issues, they must go and meet and deal with the issues. I think it's an. Unfortunately, that matters are also brought here again in the meeting. So I think next time, Chair, when you say people must go and meet, they must go and meet and agree to disagree and come back here with a position that can assist us to move forward. I just want to say that point. But the colleagues here will respond to the questions around which has been raised. Chaco Fazo, you will deal with the question coming from... The clarity on the appeal penalty issues, and then the colleagues from FPB will deal with the question on the subsidy issues that was raised. I'm saying this so that we can have a focused responses, and then the issues about the differential electronic media. I think if we can do it like that, colleagues, that will assist us then to move forward. I will start with you, Sekofas, and then you can add.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thanks for the opportunity to respond. To make it clear in general is that the response to Mr. Ngem is that the bill is not restricted to online medium or internet. Even if you commit or you write hate speech or pornography, even if it's on newspaper, it's included. It's not only restricted to online. That's why if you can see, we cannot look at the, I mean, on the only definition of publication, we look at the definition of also, look at the definition of prohibited content. The prohibited content make exclusive reference to the Section 16 of the Constitution. By prohibited content, we are covering all those instances in which we'll have contravened Section 16 of the Constitution. So we do not exempt anyone who writes through book, magazine. I think if we can look at the definition of online streaming, the definition of online medium, the definition of also prohibited content, then we look them all. It becomes very clear that you will be liable in terms of the act, whether through an internet or whether through a book or through a magazine. And I think you'll note very well from the case of DROG. Remember, the FPB initially, we had a definition. This definition was only restrictive. But the court in the case of DROG said, this is unconstitutional. You can't limit the definition of child pornography. And while I'm still on that, I think the Honorable Member also raised the issue of Department of Justice funding that perhaps we should wait. I just want to bring to attention that we had a meeting with the state law advisor. I mean, the deputy chief state law advisor from Pretoria, South African Law Commission, the ones that are busy drafting, I mean, that are busy pushing the hate speech and also cyber speech. That's why if you note my last presentation before the committee, I brought it to the attention that this is what they said. They suggested an amendment to Section 24. So they said the bill is not hindering this one. The bill can proceed. We have their comments. They are recorded here. We have everything. That's what they said. The ones that were drafting hate speech and cyber bill. What they suggested is that any prohibition in terms of this act must be in line with SOMA. And while I'm still on that point, also the Honorable Member raised the issue of child pornography. While we are still on child pornography, internationally the definition that is prescribed in terms of you know, issues concerning to pornography in itself. It is sexual abuse material. So in other words, if I were to put it, you know, just on point is that as a committee here, we cannot try to bring a new definition of sexual abuse material. That is the Department of Justice that can start with definition of child sexual abuse material. Because now we are going to come here and write the definition of child sexual abuse material. When there's a contravention, and we go to the NPA and Justice for Prosecution. When you go to NPA and Justice for Prosecution, the definition that is prescribed there is child pornography. So the primary act, the mother act that deals with child pornography, the prosecution remains to be the SOMA, sexual offense and related act. Because if there's any contravention, we hand over to the justice to prosecute. And again, with the issue of publication, I would like to refer the members to page 25. If you can look page 25 of the narrative report, I think it's page 25. You will see in section 1 below, section 25, we have a definition of publication. Now on the second column, it is the reason why it was included. Because websites, because of the internet, it was supposed to be included here, because the FPB also regulates publication to an extent that they are not exempted. Mandate of the publication, FPB, it's also online. It's not restrictive to only books. And that's why you can see in most instances the cross-reference to the primary act, which is Electronic and Communication Act. And with regard to the definition of hate speech, I've already indicated that it makes a cross-reference to Section 16 of the Constitution. I think the question that is before us now to decide is whether, when we look at all these sections that is prohibiting child pornography online, that is the definitions, that is prohibited conduct, content, online streaming, hate speech, are they covering all the forms of contravention, such as hate speech, child pornography? If we see any duplication, that's where we can, I think, look as to whether to stripe one or that. But the way we've done it, we thought they should to cover, they should be able to cover instances of WhatsApp, instances of Facebook, instant newspaper, and even books. With regard to the question that was asked with regard to commercial distribution, FPB is mandated to regulate the commercial distributors. Commercial distributors, if there is something such as hate speech, pornography, automatically it kicks in. But with regard to the non-commercial distributors, that is not mandate of the FPB. It can be done by someone else. FPB can only intervene if there is a complaint. And with regard to the question on foreign and international, you'll note that in terms of Section 39 of the Constitution, it says when you interpret the bill, you may consider and foreign law, you must consider international law. So what we did here, we did a foreign classification. We are not bound here in terms of classification to follow the foreign, but internationally will be taken into account. This is just the guideline. The foreign one is the one like neighboring countries. The foreign can be Zimbabwe, Botswana, or what, but internationally can be such as US, Canadian, or what. That's No, I'm done, my chair.
The foreign and international, you say there is a difference?
International in the wide sense, it includes also foreign. But here we are saying foreign for specific jurisdiction. And while international is the general one, I think.
Okay. Because it's the FPB agreement. No, I think Chair will clarify on that one. Yeah. We'll give further clarification.
Okay.
Is it politically correct?
No, they will clarify.
I think the Chair is responsible just for political reasons.
So those are the questions then?
I'm also here to respond to other questions which have not been. So I think there was a question on whether the bill restriction is on online content or on all other content. I think when the Principal Act was promulgated, it was in 1996, and at that time the technology has not yet grown up like now. So now we are faced with a lot of online content, and the Principal Act is not, even though it regulates all the content, but it's not clear specifically on online. So that's why we are adding another layer of the regulation of the online content. But it does not mean that we are now going to focus on online content. We are still keeping the original act to focus on other content, be it on the fiscal platform, be it publication, and so on. And again, also, there was also a question. So our intention here is not to focus on online content. It's to focus on all other content. And then there was a question on the enforcement committee, what is the classification on the enforcement committee? Chairperson and honorable members, the enforcement committee will be a new committee. Under the current act, we don't have that committee. And this committee is going to be appointed by the council of the FPB, and it will deal specifically with the issues relating to the non-compliance with the act. And then it will have powers and authority to also issue penalties with respect to the non-compliance. But if a person is not satisfied with the decision of the enforcement committee, you have a right to appeal to the appeal tribunal. So in other words, this enforcement committee, there will be checks and balances. If you are not satisfied with their decision, you go to the appeal tribunal. The appeal tribunal is already in place, it's in existence, and I think that this is the only the new layer. So in other words, the act will clarify how the council is going to be appointed. There's no changes there. How the appeal tribunal is going to be appointed, there's no changes. It is only on the enforcement committee how they will be appointed. They will be appointed by the council. And I think through the bill, when we present the bill, it's clear about their powers, their function, and how they will be appointed, and so on. And there was a question relating to the government subsidy and tariffs review structures. I think I'm not a finance person, but I do have understanding on this question. I think part of the budget with the FPB is through the allocation. But apart from the parliamentary processes allocation of the budget, we do have some of the budget from. Remember, when we render our services, we do charge for fees. Like, we charge fees for the new registration. If you are registering, if you are renewing as a film distributor, and also when we classify, we do charge the fees. So part of these fees which we charge, they constitute around 6% of our budget. So in other words, there was an explanation of the tariff review structure. We are now reviewing the whole structure, considering the fact that we are now going to regulate the online content. So there will be a large volume in terms of classification. So we are now having a review structure wherein our fees outside the government subsidy is going to improve because of the tariff review structure. But again, also, I think the other issue is that we there's an international phenomenon wherein, as the FPB, we are a member of another international organization called IRAC, wherein IRAC exempted their members or their online distributors not to be regulated by us. as the FPD. In other words, we become a member of IRAC. So if there is any online content, so that online content is going to be regulated by the IRAC structure. And then as the FPB would be entitled to their royalties which they pay to members of the IRAC. I think part of the online content it will be, we are going to regulate it, but through co-regulation. We're not going to regulate it alone. We'll regulate also with the industry. But of course, our classification guidelines is going to be followed because we cannot outsource our function. And then there was then a question relating to the question on the accreditation of foreign classification. I think Mr. Sipo, receiver, will also respond to that. And there was another question relating to child pornography. I think why are we not following the international international law framework? So I think the issue here is that internationally, they are no longer using the word child pornography. They use the word child sexual abuse content. So our problem here is that if we go to sexual abuse content, it will be a new word in South Africa. And even the way we regulate child pornography is going to be upside. Because remember, we were found wanting when it comes to the definition of child pornography. There was a definition of child pornography in the Principal Act. And that definition was declared unconstitutional by the Constitutional Court. And what we are doing here is that the Constitutional Court reasoning was that our definition must be in line with the definition provided by the Child Sexual Offences Act. And what we have done here was to align our definition in line with the Criminal Offences Act. So, in other words, we are not bringing a new definition here. We are just aligning our definition in line with the Constitutional Court judgment and also in line with another legislation, which is the Principal Act when it comes to the prosecution of offenders who committed child pornography. And I think the other questions which are left, they are going to be answered by Mr. Receiver.
Thanks, Chair. No, I see they are now on trick power. Yes. You know, I think the question of the foreign versus international, you know, the way it was explained, perhaps I think to a large extent, I think it creates difficulties to the members. But it's safe to say that in South Africa, we do have, for example, people who are from other countries, they reside here, and they are regarded as foreigners. We do have companies which are operating headquarters somewhere outside the country. They are foreign companies, but they are operating here. And in the course of doing their business, and the people, when they are here, there has to be a way of how you regulate how they relate to what they do in the country. It may be that you are here and you may want to guide yourself and be able to push foreign content as if it's a local content in a situation. So I think that is what I can want to. So it's about regulating content which is foreign within the boundaries of the country, whereas international will deal with a foreign content which is created and comes from outside the borders of the country. If I can maybe try to simplify it in that way, you know, so that there is that clarity around that matter. I don't know whether it really helps the members to really have the understanding, you know, in that aspect. So that we can be able to clearly say when we define what is local content, you are able to clearly indicate that it talks to the value system and what we stand for as a country, as it were. I think the other issue as they've indicated, which have not dealt with council. So I want the council member to take responsibility. is the issue about the subsidy, the government subsidy, so 795. If maybe we can maybe just go back to that one.
Yeah, I think the issue relating to the is not is outside the government subsidy itself. Is that the current online distributors, when we charge them on the classification, we have an agreement with them where they pay 795,000 for classification. So what we are doing now here, we are having a tariff review processes, when we want to review that structure, so that we whatever we charge, we are guided by the law. Because I think there's a gap. So when some are starting to question, why have you arrived at 795? So what we are doing here is that we are reviewing our tariff structure, how we charge the online content. Because remember, we didn't have a process on how we charge online content. Because when the Principal Act was promulgated, technology was still far way back. Now the technology has grown up and developed to an extent that now we got the services of the University of Pretoria, who are busy doing the tariff review processes. We are now in that process. We have not yet finalized the process, but there are good proposals which are on the table. And I think when the process is done, that's where we'll have a clear direction on how we are going to charge the online distributors with regard to the online content.
Any other question? Nobody must attempt to define foreign and international again. So the more you do it, the more we don't agree. Any other question left? State law advisor?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Chair, I would like to go back to the issue that was raised by the parliamentary law advisor on page 9 of the discussion document, the issue of the definition of publication, the unintended consequence, Chair, that is reflected by the text. As it is written now, Chair, it says that publication means and includes, where applicable, comma, any of the following, comma, published using the internet, meaning now the list in the definition of publication in the Principal Act that includes newspapers, books, print, photographs, all of those would be contained only in the internet, meaning that the definition of publication only includes publications that are streamed in the internet. Chair, this is not the intention here, Chair. But the intention was that there may be other publications that are made via the internet. Therefore, Chair, I think it is the text, Chair, that may be problematic. Because it should read, Chair, that publication means, comma, and includes, where applicable, any of the following published using the internet, meaning, Chair, that there may be publications that are made using the internet and other normal publications. Therefore, Chair, it just needs to, just for that comma after the word following to be removed, Chair, and then that unintended consequence would be addressed, Chair. If you read that text on page 9, paragraph S, publication. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was also just going to address that, but I agree with what my colleague is saying here, and in line with that then, just on the clause dealing with the definitions, I think all the other corrections will then be implemented in the A list that we are going to prepare, which also includes this as he has just succinctly explained it. But the last thing I also wanted to round out on the clause dealing with the definitions is also to just note that NA Rule 2864 on just this one, because there are other definitions that were not part of the introduced bill that they are bringing in. In fact, as we start now, this very clause about the definitions, they invoke 2864C, which says if you are dealing with an amendment of the existing legislation and you touch on things that were not part of the introduced bill on the process, it actually now drops us, as of it is the first one, to that and puts us on the point that as we go on now, we need to be alert that that permission from the NA needs to be sought, Chairperson. But as I round off on just this clause from page 1 until 11, it does bring it in. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Can we now... Oh, there are more questions. Honourable Drachen and then Honourable Teddy.
Thank you again, Chair. I think we just need more clarity, again, coming back to foreign versus international. Give you an example. I thought that anything online or that in cyberspace has no borders. Now, let's say I'm making a video of this meeting. I put it on Facebook. What is that considered to be when a friend of mine overseas views my video? Is that regarded as foreign content to my friend in another country? What do the other countries' laws say in terms of foreign and international? Let's say that guy makes a video of his portfolio committee meeting, put it on Facebook, and I watch it in South Africa, then I would say that's international. I won't say it's foreign. So I'm still not clear about that. If we can just, you know, what do their laws say in terms of that? Because I thought anything online has no borders, knows no boundaries. Thank you very much, Chair.
The explanation from board member Nevonde is not assisting. I'm raising this thing because he says the enforcement committee is a new committee. Secondly, he says if you are not happy with a decision of the enforcement committee, you'll go to the appeal board. Am I right? This bill, section 6, states very clearly that there is a committee which is called the penalty board, which we are now trying to change into an enforcement committee. So it's a contradiction to suggest that this committee is new. Because from the presentation, this committee is not new. What is new is the name, from penalty board to enforcement committee. Because this penalty board has always been there. I see it in the point of view. So the contradiction that you are now bringing, Advocate Novant, is to say this committee is new. What is new is the name from the presentation. The last one, I want to refer you to page 13, even if we have not yet reached there. Page 13. From your document, the one that you're presenting. 13 there. Look at 6 there, where you have deleted. You have deleted your appeal board, appeal tribunal, and penalty board. So that argument which suggests that if you are not happy with the decision of the penalty board, you'll go... on this one, the discussion section, annex C, 6. They are now deleting the appeal board, which, according to Advocate Navonde, is a committee that will go to if not happy with the penalty committee decision. How do you now delete a body that you must go to when we are not happy with the decision of the enforcement committee. So I'm saying it's a contradiction to suggest that this body remains when we are now deleting it from the presentation. So two contradictions. When you say the committee is new, in my understanding, it's not new, it's there. What is new is the name, from Penalty Board to Enforcement Committee. How do you explain that?
Yes. Yes, I think with regard to the clarification to that is that when we introduce a bill initially, we refer this enforcement committee as the penalty committee. Now, when we are presenting now, we are saying it's no longer going to be a penalty committee, it's going to be an enforcement committee. So remember, initially when we introduce a bill for the first time, this penalty committee, the person who was going to appoint it was going to be the minister. Now we are changing it to say it's no longer going to be the minister, it's going to be the council. So currently, in our structure, or in the principal committee, the enforcement committee is not existing. We are introducing it for the first time. It is not there. It has never existed before. This is the new committee, which is there to ensure that there is a stricter enforcement of the act. What has been there, it has been appeal tribunal, ONG, and the council, which are all appointed by the minister. So this is a new layer, which will be responsible to ensure that there is stricter enforcement of the act. So if there is any deviation of the act, this committee will have powers also to issue penalties to those who would find themselves contravening the law. So this is the new committee, which will be independent, and I think their powers, how they are appointed, it is also there on the bill. I think it's still going to be this is part of the presentation. So.
Well, left it for 5 minutes. Can we attend to that question of the
Yes, Chair. The issue of foreign and international. Let me make an attempt, Chair, to go back to the principles behind foreign and international concept. Chair, the Constitution, Chair, does provide for international. If you want to interpret the Constitution or the court wants to interpret any legislation, Chair, the Constitution does allow the court or a tribunal to use international law or foreign law. Now, Chair, the foreign law, for instance, foreign law would be maybe the legal system in Zimbabwe. That would be the foreign law, another country, different country, that you can apply in your system, Chair, when you consider when you're interpreting the law. Now, the international law, Chair, would be... Yes, you can make certain examples, Chair, but I like more Zimbabwe, Chair, so that we don't use Europe as option, Chair.
So that we understand the thing. Because Chair, whatever is Africa, in your view, it's foreign. And then whatever is overseas, then it's something else. It's international. Just on that one.
Well, Chair, yes. United States. The system of the United States of America, Chair, would be classified as foreign law. Even in England, foreign law. Australia, foreign law. Zimbabwe, foreign law. Swaziland, foreign law. Indonesia, foreign law, Chair. The issue of the international law, Chair, would come in where two nations or two countries have an understanding or enter into an agreement, of an understanding on how to deal with certain issues formally between the two countries, two nations, Chair. That would be the international law part of it, Chair. I hope I've tried to clarify it properly. Thank you.
Because it's simplified. It's now simplified. This is a new question. not on international law.
I don't know. I think that's a nice clarification of the difference. It makes a lot of sense. My question is not you. It's just, I said, is definition of online, is it this law the first one to define online media? So online media means, and I say, is this the first time we define it as African law in this section? If not, so where else is it defined? So the second issue, there's an issue which, although it's not very relevant for the purpose of this, I think all of you, I'm not sure you're responding to what I'm saying. I said to you, I understand why you're going to sustain child pornography. I said, I understand that. That's not what I'm debating. But I'm saying, if in your own knowledge there's an international definition, are there no contemplated processes to advise those who are dealing with the principle of the call, whatever you call it, to actually try to align? I'm not debating whether you are right or not in doing what you are doing. You respond as if I'm disputing. You don't have to answer that.
With the few minutes that we have, can we go to Mamu Machop? No, can you use the mic? If it's a question, unless... Okay. Can you go to page 11, another section now, and continue until we...
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair, I'll start with page 11. I think from page 11 to towards the end of the bill, it will be short in the sense that most of the things that we discussed in definition, we also stated they are mischief. So they are just expanded and explained fully throughout. I believe that it will not even take more than 30 minutes to complete the whole bill, because all of this was stated in the bill, because they go in line with the definitions and also in the preamble, which is the intention. The long title, the spirit of the bill, the preamble.
Yes,
the preamble.
Hello. I've appointed a member, Honorable Kalako.
Chair, I'm hearing him talking about 30 minutes. Do we still have 30 minutes to go? I thought we were churning at what?
Can be short. Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, page 11, you'll see here on the page 11 of the discussion, page 11 of the main bill that I started with it. You'll see we have the weight in red, penalty enforcement. This is what's discussed in full. And when we go to page 12, when we go to page 12, you'll see again where there was actually what was done, where there was a penalty committee, the weight enforcement committee was also inserted. That is page 12 under paragraph 4. Here, under paragraph 4E, you'll note, Chair, that the sections impartial must perform their function without fear, favor, or prejudice was included, because there was a suggestion that how will the, what is the due process? How will the committee be advised? So we it also just a jury submission that the word impartial, free, they must perform their job without fear, favor, prejudice, and to be impartial, to be included here, to be in line with the Constitution. That is the principle of every adjudicating authority, whether the tribunal or what. This principle was just produced here, so that the members can be, the members of this committee can remain impartial in discharging their duties. That was included here under E. With your permission, I'll go to page 13, Chair. That is page 13, under amendment of section 6 of the Act. Here in page 16, you will note that the submissions. Initially, the bill proposed that the minister must be the one who will appoint the enforcement committee. But there was a suggestion that the minister may not be independent or what. So, but what was done here is that this section was deleted and the powers now are not vested with the minister now. So, they are vested with the committee here, the tribunal committee. That is in page 30. In page 14, page 13, page 13, yeah, page 13 under subsection C, it was cautioned that, the DC and FPB perhaps will give much power to the minister, but this were deleted. If you can check under paragraph 6, you see, it says members, appointment of members under C, under section 6. Yeah. Supposed to be the tribunal. There, the council. Section 4, capital A. In page 12, let's look down into.
So you're now back in page 12?
Yeah, in page 12. The last paragraph, number 5. Section 4A of the Principal Act is amended as follows. In consultation with the Minister, issued directives of general application, including classification guideline regarding accreditation. The other one, it deletes, it says by deletion of subsection A and subsection 1, it says by the addition of the following, to appoint the enforcement committee in terms of Section 6A. In the Principal Act. The one which was introduced in the Principal Act, it is deleted, as you can see in page 13. The one that was deleted is the one that was in Principal Act. The one that was in the initial bill, not the Principal Act. In that initial bill, ne? That deals with appointment. You mean the original bill, Chair? The original Principal Act.
Section 4A, Honorable Chair, it's a section which is in the Principal Act,
it is revised in order to empower the council to make determinations regarding the accreditation of foreign and international classification systems and limit the terms of classifier to a maximum of 6 years, which is broken down into two terms. This limitation is to guard against classifier becoming complacent and passive as it is. Now, what is explaining in sections... Yes. Can you go to page 12? Yes, it starts in page 12. Section. Can you look at down there where it said 5? It's in red. It's in red. 5. Oh, I don't have that one. Can you use the one that with the discussion? 4C. 4C. Page 5 on the bill that has submitted to the committee, you have got section 4, right? It's at the top, right? And then there's a new section 4A, right? In the discussion in the 4C. I mean, do you see it? A new section 4A in the discussion document? So in this one you only have section 4, but the new insertion is insertion of new section 4A under clause 5. Can you see it, Chair? Start on page 12, just below.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in the introduced bill that you were just raising, that bill did not amend Section 4 or Section 4A of the Principal Act. But with the proposal that the department is bringing today before the committee, they are bringing in what should be a new insertion into the introduced bill, which speaks to Section 3, Section 4, and Section 4A of the Principal Act. And perhaps that is where this should have been clarified, and hence the chairperson is asking the question, where is that amendment in the introduced bill? But I guess from what they've picked up and what they seek to now propose is to say, in terms of Section 3 of the Principal Act, when there is an establishment, the provision that establishes all these entities within this Act, they are established under Section 3 of the Principal Act. And so in the proposal that they are making, they are saying under Section 3 of the Principal Act, where we are establishing the Council and the Appeal Tribunal and the FPB, there must be an addition of the fourth structure, which is the Enforcement Committee. But that was not part of the introduced bill. And as you go further then to the amendment that appears on page 12 of their discussion document, it's another new insertion into the bill itself, not only into the Act, but it's an amendment that will be new both in the bill and new in the Act. to speak to the enforcement committee, which explains what the member was querying to say, I'm having a confusion on this enforcement committee, because it seems like in the introduced bill, the bill only spoke to the penalty committee. And the penalty committee, its amendment was only brought in Section 6 of the Principal Act, not in Section 3 and 4 and 4A. But when we correct, if the members do take these proposals, when we correct that and effect it in the A list, that correction will come out and be clear. But in this instance, what the department should have clarified is to say, this is a new proposal either way, in the bill itself and in the Principal Act, which will then bring clarity for the members to avoid all these questions that are coming up. In fact, it's also one of those that invokes NA Rule 286, because it's a new provision that was not even part of the bill that was introduced. I hope it makes sense, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. The other issue that you raised, Chair, was the issue of why the deletion, the whole deletion of the proposed Section 6. In the introduced version, Chair, the idea was that the minister would appoint the penalty committee, which is now the enforcement committee. Now the deletion now is removing that idea, because now the new proposal is that the council now should appoint the enforcement committee. Hence, Section 4, Big A, above, in on page 13, is now included. Sir.
What's my guilt, Chair? Yes, that's my guilt.
Chair, I have a question on this changes that was made to on page 15, under 4, specifically that, can we ask questions on this now? 15, under number 4. Are we there? It's part of that. I'm not sure if they... Okay, because it was...
Yeah, page 13. Yeah, we can go to page 14. Yeah. Yeah, page 14 also under paragraph 7 in under capital C, six, capital A1. You'll notice that number 2 here, that says, it says members of the enforcement committee will be appointed by the council, as they indicated that they need to be impartial and no longer being appointed by the minister. Again, number 3, it was also inserted here, the members of the enforcement committee must be a judge. These are the requirements. Actually, the only changes here were from penalty to enforcement, if you can see in page 15. Also under paragraph 4, furthermore, a new section, number five, was included here that deals with the requirements of the member of enforcement committee, saying that must be fit and proper person. And page 15, under paragraph 5, that must be fit and proper person, good character, not to be disqualified in terms of section 7 of this act. Page 16, again, the word under 6B, here the word penalty was replaced with enforcement. And again, okay, and you'll see under D, here there's an amount that was deleted. This amount was deleted because the specific amount that may be imposed by the enforcement committee have to remove it. Was supposed to be removed because it will be determined from time to time by the minister. And this provision has been inserted again. If you can look at page 70. So when we make a proclamation or something, the amounts may be determined time to time. So if you are fixing it here, it's because it may be amended. And with this amendment, you can look in page 17 under paragraph 3. It says the minister may from time to time and after consultation with the board by notice determine the amount. In page 17 under paragraph 4. Page 17 under paragraph 4. So I'm saying this amount was deleted specifically because this amount will change from now and then. So if there is a change, it will be gazetted. Now they make a provision for activity which the member of enforcement are expressly prohibited from engaging in to safeguard integrity. That is page 17 and page 18 also, Chair. Page 18, the removal of members of the enforcement committee. This is a new section. Because now the enforcement committee was established now, this is the section that it deals with the removal of the member of enforcement committee from the office. And it has the principle of accountability and transparency. That is under 6C. Page 19, you'll see it's an enforcement versus penalty. It's just only that. That is in page 19, Chair. The only changes are with regard to penalty, to enforcement. And in page 20, it deals with the removal from the office. This section was deleted from the bill, section 9, because it is covered under removal of members of enforcement committee. That is page 18. If you refer to page 18, it covers what has been deleted here in page 20. That deals with removal. Again, same page 20 below, we have amendment to section 9, page 20 below, just in at the bottom of page 20, amendment of section 9A of the Act, that is page 9. This section, Chair, was revised to include the accreditation of online distributors as one of the functions of FPB. This is the section was there, but it was revised in order to include accreditation of online distributors as one of the functions of FPB. That is in page 20. The heading starts from the bottom of page 20, and you can look under paragraph D in red.
D in page
21. Yeah, accreditation of online distributors in terms of and the performance. That's the one that was discussed earlier in an extent. So the distinction was stated by the chair and the committee, honorable members. That distinction is also inserted here in page 21 under paragraph S. You see, we have included the word international, again the commercial versus non-commercial. And in page 22, you will note that under paragraph 12, the enforcement committee is also added here, as it also provides administrative support to the council and also the appeal tribunal. It was added here. And again, under paragraph 12 in the same page 22, because members of the staff of the council, appeal tribunal, enforcement committee may basically where the other functions are included here for the members, administrative members. Reference is also made to enforcement committee. Again, it's the same thing in page 23, Chair. That's the section is dealing with the deletion of penalty to enforcement. And again, they end in page 24, the deletion of penalty to enforcement. Those were just the renaming of them. Again, the substitution of section 15A in page 24. Here, in paragraph 15A, this section, Chair, was revised in order to make provision for compliance monitors to seek assistance on member of SAPS when conducting their duties to ensure that the process is followed and the right to privacy are protected. This way, in response to the responses that we received from the public. That is page 24, capital section 15A. That is section A. And this has been inserted in page 25 under capital 1A. For the purpose of, under capital 1A in page 25, it says, for the purpose of subsection 1, compliance officer may at all reasonable times with the consent of the person. This were done for compliance monitors. This was just revised. It was there in the bill. So this was just revised so that to enable the member of SAPS to be able to go to a certain premises where perhaps there is transgression for hate speech and all that, or internet service providers. So you can only, if the consent is withheld, you can only get the obtain a consent with get with the police officer. That is in page 25, Chair. Page 25, it goes again to page 26. If you can see, it is continuing. This section that we included here was just a section for the due process. Just for the due process. In page 27, you'll see under K, it's the section indicating that the consent of the person in charge of the premises must be obtained before you go to take down any of the pornographic material or any of the hate speech? That is in page 27. And page 27. And in page 28, you will note that we indicated earlier that the Press Council of South Africa needed to be recognized as the body that is also responsible here, recognized by the Press Ombudsman, because they subscribe and adhere to the code that must be enforced by that party. So in the definition, I've indicated that this Press Council needed to be included. So that is where exactly they are included here under paragraph 17, as they subscribe to the code. Page 29, under paragraph F, again, this section deals with the removal of any words that advocates or amount to pornograph. This were just revised in pursuance to the public comments that were received. If you can check under paragraph A in page 29, it says advocates or amounts to propaganda. So this was just substituted because any word or any word that incites imminent violence or propaganda is also prohibited in terms of the FPB Act. So this is one of the prohibited content that is also regulated in terms of the Act. The definition also prohibited content is in the definitions. Page 30. That is the classification guideline for films and publication. Here, under B in page 30, you will note that Roman figure 1, B in page 30, classify the publication XX if it contains violence, sexual, accompanied by explicit violence. This one was just only maybe rephrasing it in such a way that it, as you can see, that initially it was saying explicit violence, but now it says explicit sexual violence, because it can be any sexual violence as long as it can be any sexual conduct, as long as it can be covered by violence. This is the way we have put it, and the state law advisor is also fine with this one. Again, under Roman figure 2, the word bestiality was included because as one of the pornographic material that you can also include online, that is also prohibited, because bestiality is prohibited in terms of criminal law and also an incest. In page 31, under paragraph 18, here, chapter 4 of the Act was substituted here. This is basically the section now from here on to down, section 18. This was the section that we received the comments that they were saying is unconstitutional. Amongst others, it was said that FPB will enter into the terrain of ICASA. So from page, under this section 18, it starts here from page 31, it's 18 C, A, B, C, D. Those were the sections that were said to be unconstitutional. And if you can see, in page 33, they were deleted under paragraph B. under paragraph D in page 33. Those were the comments that we received from even the oral presentations where the presentation was made that they enter into the terrain of ICASA. So if FPB tend to regulate this, it has the impression of streaming what needs to actually be done by ICASA. That's why you could see the deletion of section 7-8 in page 33. Because this section 18, just to put it later, it permitted the broadcaster, it pertains to the broadcaster and was deleted because, as I've indicated, the public was saying it is unconstitutional because it seeks to impose restriction on ICASA. So this section now refers to independent classification of the body. SFPB was furthermore cautioned against outsourcing its mandate and functions. That is page 33. Those were in page 34. Page 34. Under section 18C. It's the same continuation of those sections that were entering into the terrain of ICASA. Were deleted because you can see here it says section 18C says the board may on application upon the payment of regard by an independent industry classification. It was deleted here and the word commercial online distributor was added. In page 35, that's the same distinction of commercial and non-commercial online distributors that were stated earlier, that now there is a distinction between commercial and online commercial distributors. Again, in page 36, Chair. In page 36. You see under paragraph F and G, the word digital film and digital game, until downwards were deleted because FPB could, it's not restricted to digital film or game. It has jurisdiction over any game or film, whether it's on the internet or, so that's why it's not only digital. That's why the word digital and digital film and digital game now has been deleted. And in page 37, Chair, that is the accreditation, that is the foreign and international classification system that was referred earlier. That the board here may on application under 18D, all reference to the board here has been replaced with reference to the council. You can see from here, it says 18D under 1. The board may own application by online distributor wishing to distribute digital, as I've indicated earlier, it was removed because it's not restricted games in the public using classification system by foreign and again international was added or body approved for classification. This is just a accreditation in terms of foreign and international. So it was included here. In page 38, under 18E, this section chair was revised to make a provision for the removal of prohibited content using the takedown processes as is in section 77 of the electronic communication to ensure consistency with applicable legislation. So that's the section that I referred earlier when I said if there's a prohibited content on compliance monitors, they can go to a specific place of internet to remove, to take down that child pornographic material with the assistance of the South African police station. However, in order to do that, they must follow the process a due process that is stated in Section 77 of the Constitution, of the Electronic Transaction Act. If you can see under 18 here, this is the process that has been stipulated on how to take down. It says any person may complain to the board about unclassified, prohibited content in relation to service being offered online by the person, including commercial online distributor and non-commercial, and it goes down. If you can look in page 39 under number 3, it says, page 39, paragraph 3, it says, for the purpose of this section and section 24E, the internet service provider shall be compelled to furnish the board or member of South African Police Service with information of the identity of the person who published the prohibited content. That is when the compliance officer, with the assistance of the South African Police, they go to take down. With your permission, Chair, under paragraph 18F, capital F, section 39, this section was revised, particularly to ensure that consent of the person who depicted in the film or photograph at the time of creating thereof cannot be used as the defense. Furthermore, the provision of what constitutes private has been revised to be in line with the public inputs. Internet service providers will now be compelled to finish the details of the person who disseminated a content to the South African police officer. In other words, in terms of this law, the service providers will have to provide the compliance officers with the details, through assistance of the police, with the details of the person who has written child pornographic material and so forth. That is the basis of Section 18F. And page 40, again under paragraph 3, page 40 under paragraph 3, it says the provision referred in subsection 1 shall apply, notwithstanding the individual who appears to in the photograph or film might consented to the original creation of such photograph. This is the process that it will be undertaken as and when the details are taken. And in page 41 under section 18G, this section was revised to make provision for the internet service providers to be compelled to furnish the details of the person who disseminated such content to SAPCS for investigation and prosecution. So 18G, you will note here that the word electronic medium was deleted because you can make a hate speech verbally or even through newspaper or what, and the social media here was inserted. That is in page 41.
Members, it's 1 o'clock now, and we're left with very few pages, and I'm not sure this exercise is going to help us. Any proposals? Study? Because we... Yeah.
Yeah, maybe let's agree that we can't go beyond the presentation now. Especially because we still have the other issues that we need to deal with. So that's my suggestion, that the rest, maybe let's agree that we stop where we are so that we're able to attend to the other issues.
Do I hear any concurrence on that?
Chair, I just want to know if we're going to come back then on the specific presentation for the
next
questions.
We can still deal with it next meeting. Can we agree with that, members? Unfortunately, we are in page 41, because in the main it's just to we're just letting him to read, and that we can do. Maybe next meeting will be better prepared. Let's hold on there. We're left with minutes and the discussion on the interim board. Minutes are not that much of a problem. What is a problem is the discussion on interim board. I am told that by today we are getting a report from ad hoc, and then by the 15th, by next week, we are supposed to present the names of the agreed interim board members from this committee. I'll suggest that we skip the minutes, we have a bite on the interim board, the progress from the parties. If we done any progress, so that if we're not, can we look at it and maybe just to indicate if members want, if they are ready, parties, if they are ready to give us names. I think we agreed on minutes, we'll share them until next meeting. On the interim board, Honorable Kalako.
ANC is ready, Chair. We've finalized our names.
GA? Because here, you are the only parties that are here.
Are you speaking of the ICASA or the SABC?
No, the interim board, SABC interim board. Remember we...
Yeah, we did provide our names.
Yes.
Yes.
Ready to finalize it today, that's my question. Smaller parties are not here. Smaller parties are not here, but we must merge with five names. That's the problem. Honorable Dollar? Oh, before okay, I'll give you after Dollar.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I thought we agreed in the last meeting that parties must meet and find a way whether they cannot have some kind of and the small parties or a process that was given. Whose consent that was given to all just get that feedback, because if there are no negotiations that will take place already, it will mean we will, at the stage where we were in the last meeting, and also find a way forward from that if there is any kind of actual problem.
Okay. Honorable Macha?
Thanks, Chair. I'm supporting the proposal of MP. We can't wait for the small parties now, Chair. As we do not have much time, we're supposed to submit the report by next week. We must go ahead with our discussion.
Members, do you want to finalize the names today? Or shall it on next week? Honorable Kalako?
No, Chair, you see the problem I'm having, this was a decision of our last committee meeting, that parties will go away and come back with names. Then everybody was there. So we can't wait, everybody knows, this meeting was scheduled last week already. It's in all communications of government, parliament in particular. So there is no justification that parties which are not here, we can wait for them. it's their duty to be here and do work. Otherwise, they won't do work if we wait for people who don't come to work without any reason. I don't know whether you did have any apology, any apology. So I think, Chair, you will be disadvantaging us and actually allowing other people who don't attend meetings to abuse us.
Okay.
I thought Chair had the responsibility to coordinate everybody else so that by the time we come here, at least we know the progress made, if there's any. I thought with all the strong words, if you can then say this is how far we've managed to go in trying to go to get five names from all the names that were taken by all participants.
Yeah. Member. Yes.
I guess just to follow Honorable Member Van Dolas, that I guess I understood the purpose of saying submit names was trying the in a particular process. And the question, has that process taken off? Because otherwise we would have decided last week. Because I thought there was a noble intention why there was a commitment to that kind of a process.
Now, Teddy?
Yeah, I think I understand it the same way. Because the difficulty is if from the AC, of course, we have concluded in trimming the list down to the required number. But if the other party was to say we have trimmed down to the required number and no engagements have taken place already, so technically it means we have 10. Technically. Because I had thought at this level we're then going to conclude on the basis of if there is a deadlock of some sort at the level of the engagement which is supposed to have taken place. So that's the difficulty that we are faced with now. But we might have to find a way because this issue is very urgent. And as we have indicated, we need to finalize it so that by next week we are then able to conclude and take it to the NA.
Okay, I think it's very clear that we'll have to conclude the process in the next meeting on Tuesday so that we do what is called lobbying. Well, that's what we said last week. So that we don't have ANC with 8 names and TA with, well, of course, I don't know if ANC has 5 names. From that 8 and TA has 5 names, or how many? Honorable Kalako?
No, Chair, I think, look, the consultation has happened. I don't want us to pretend as if we didn't interface with other parties. And they have made suggestions of the names because part of the process was to clarify for some of the names they will know who won't know. Even us, some of our names they will know, others they won't know. That has happened. Now that people, that is why as ANC, will know when the list of the DA which name we are supporting. And we've done our research on those names to check them. Likewise, EFF. We know the name they will propose. We know what actually they will. The people who actually were not sure of their names is the smaller parties, this party and others. just like last time, as you are saying here. So, but it's up to us if we want to continue and conclude, because to me, I don't see anything that will change, because they will support other names, their names which they won't support, just like us.
I think your conclusion was even wiser, getting to hear from Honorable Gala, that let's give it a last try for parties to speak between each other, and then in the next meeting on Tuesday we then conclude. But of course, your office should then communicate to smaller parties that this is the condition of us referring the matter, that they must be on board. By next Tuesday, we have to conclude. But also, Honorable Galango, as the chief of the ruling party, must concretize that and bring something that will give a picture whether we'll be there to vote. Because I thought you made it very clear in the last meeting to say we need not to vote on these names because they are only in clearance. So let's strengthen that arm that says at least we have moved very important kind of a process. Let's interact further, lobby, and indeed on Tuesday let's conclude, having noted and taken into consideration all the elements that you raised in the last meeting, Chair. That would be my take on the matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable.
I just want to strongly second that against this background. One is clear that at a point where there is no agreement, there are processes of voting and so on. But the spirit is, if there's one project we've been running together, is this one. We must fight, we must submit to a fight if there is no option. That's the point of view. And there's a lot of unity that has actually been, which is a very good thing when we can afford. So I'm saying, with all humility, we are requesting if the child doesn't get born well, then much.
Okay. But I think the key word is that voting must be a last resort. Next Tuesday will be very tight, because this is a matter that we can meet for a few minutes as the committee when parties agree on names. We just meet even if it's a lunch hour meeting. Members, can we agree on that one? Let's try and get the space within this week, if possible. 1 hour, because work is being done now among parties. That's 30 minutes, 1 hour this week, and then we conclude this matter so that it's in the agenda for Parliament next week. Remember, we're going for oversight very soon, so we won't be here to conclude this matter. Can you agree with that?
Yes.
Get the space, and then we inform members. We meet for 30 to an hour. Others say tomorrow, but we'll look at what work as political parties you conclude that. Thank you very much, members. This is how we conclude. We'll meet. If it's tomorrow, it will be tomorrow. If it's Thursday, it will be Thursday, and finalize this matter. Minutes will be dealt with next week, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.